Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, beloved ones. This is Bishop Dr. Lawrence Wamba with my wife, Tarina Wamba, here in Dallas, Texas, the United States of America. We're back again on Blog Talk Radio on the Wamba World Outreach School of Ministry. As you know, we broadcast daily, and unless like we had a break because we have a lot of load from our Bible college. We have established a Bible college here in Dallas, Texas, which is an online college where you can train and obtain a diploma in Bible theology and Christian church ministries. We have over 15 students studying online as of now in this class, but it's expanding very rapidly. We have students in London, students in Kenya, Uganda, Tanzania, Zambia, South Africa, Malawi, and Nigeria, and here in the United States of America. And so I encourage you, if you want to build up your academics and become seasoned in the work of the Lord, our Bible school is there. We have professors who are very, very capable of teaching, give very strong lecturing in the Bible college. We have people with degrees, master's degrees in theology, who are some of the lecturers that we have at our Bible college. Well, we have been receiving testimonies of great things happening in the lives of our students as they share with us about what God has been doing. We just had a student recently from Uganda. This dear brother, Lungu, is originally from Zambia but lives in Uganda and works there. And so he had wonderful testimonies as he joined our winning team. We are here to build God's kingdom. And you know, the Lord said, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And so he said, pray for the Lord of the harvest that he may send laborers into his field. Now, who are those laborers? Laborers are those who are called to the fivefold full-time ministry of apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. I'm in the fivefold ministry gifting. I'm an apostle in ministry. I preside as bishop over the works that are founded in Zambia, the Pentecostal Believers Church of God, which I founded in December of 1985, and this has been running up to today. I'm also the founding bishop of the work here in the United States of America, the Word of Life Bible Church Fellowship International. We are opening up new venues, like in Plano. We have a big response from the Zambian citizenry there in Plano who are ready to run with the vision together with us in Plano. We are so thankful to the Lord. We have also got ministry here on Blog Talk Radio, reaching over 8,000 to 9,000 people around the world who listen to our broadcasts. We also have the Bible school, like I said. We're going to have a physical Bible school here in Dallas where students will be seated in the class. We shall have administrative offices. We shall have the library. We shall have a communion meeting for students, a cafeteria, and the things that you find in a normal seminary. This is our goal. That's what we are working towards. You see, time waits for no man. Sometimes you say, well, we're gonna do this in 5 years and all that, but time runs and goes. So when we have, God has given us that much time to do things, we can do them right now. See, we don't have so many years to live like the biblical times. When I say biblical times, I mean in the beginning of the time when we had people like Adam, people like Abraham, people like Mephibosheth, people like King David, people like King Solomon, people like the prophets of the Lord. Now, you hear many of these people. The Bible gives us a record that he lived 830 years. We don't hear of those years anymore. People now live within the bracket of 100 years. If you live to be 121 years, like I saw one lady, a woman, a mother, grandparent, was posted on Facebook, she's 121 years. That's no joke. In our time, when you live that long, it's a big blessing from the Lord, because we are cut into the category of 100. So you would either be 97 years old, 98 years old, maybe 100 years old, 101, 102. So once you get to 101, 102, 103, everybody's thinking, hey, this man has lived a long life. And so nowadays, you know, thank God for the life like here in the United States, whereby amenities are easily available, treatment for medical attention for the body are there. You know, recently I went to see my medical doctor for my wisdom tooth treatment at the Presbyterian Hospital. And they're very efficient. They take you a barrier of tests. They did a CAT scan over my face and checked everything. And that it helps. You know, they give you a prescription by the doctor, medicines you should take and what you need to do to keep your teeth, you know, strong and running. And so when you look at that, when you have good maintenance of your body, you can live a long life. But then suffice to say that the time that God has given us to live must be used very wisely. That's why it shocks me, like here in the United States of late, like this man picked up a gun, goes to a shopping mall, and at Macy's, it just starts to shoot people down. Can you imagine? I don't comprehend it. How on earth can you pick up a gun like you're going hunting, go in a public mall on what they call the soft targets, people who have got no way of protecting themselves against your wicked thinking and brutality, you get that rifle and start shooting innocent people who are not even expecting to see a bullet come at that hour, and he killed 5 people. He ran away. Well, you know, this is the United States of America, and they got him. He's been arrested. But my point is, it's very saddening. Is it that people don't have things to do, that you'd go do such a grave crime of killing innocent people? Come on. We gotta get to some sober understanding of doing things. You never gave life, and you can't take life. It takes a long time for a person to grow. The mother carries them for 9 months or 8 months. After that, the parents have got to invest in the looking after of that baby until they become a grown child, a boy or a girl. Eventually, they mature to be responsible citizens. Their parents have to invest money in them to educate them, get them to schools. It costs millions of dollars to get these kids educated and to have them become responsible citizens. They graduate. They have degrees. They start working for companies, and they start benefiting both the society, the cities where they are, and the nation. And here comes a failure in life, a backward fellow who has failed to achieve things and wants to make a name in that split second over innocent people whose lives have had major investment, who are bringing great contribution to the nation. And this fool with no vision and is going nowhere takes a gun and shoots people like that. Ends a life he never gave. No wonder they put them to death row. That's where they're supposed to go, death row. You know, it's a sad, sad situation when people behave like that. Well, that's why today, you know, I'm sharing from the Word of God, and the theme that popped up in my spirit was that the seeds we sow, or the seeds you sow in life, will determine your ending. When we look in Scripture, it's very, very elaborate and gives very specific instructions. The Bible tells us that seed time and harvest shall never cease as long as the earth remains. And that's in the book of Genesis and chapter number 6. As you remember, God had punished this world with the water because of this grave sin of the people for what they did. The depravity of Sodom and the many other sins that occurred. And so we see here in the book of Genesis and chapter number 6 that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke, as it were, from the Old Testament, we do believe, and gave an authentication. Excuse me. He said that as long as the earth remains, the seed time and harvest shall never cease. Now, this was at the punishment of the people when they sinned at the time of Noah. And Noah warned them as the Lord gave him his word, but they never turned away from their sin. And so we see the Lord, he spoke and said, after the big judgment, he said he was no more going to do this again. He said, in the book of Genesis and chapter 18, but I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark. You, your sons, your wife, and your sons, your wives with you, and of every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every sort into the ark to keep them alive with you, and they shall be male and female. Of the birds after their kind, of animals after their kind, and of every creeping thing of the earth after its kind, two of every kind will come to you to keep them alive. And you shall take for yourself of all food that is eaten, and you shall gather it to yourself, and it shall be food for you and for them. Thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him, so he did. And so we know that after this, there was a flood that came that lasted for 40 days and 40 nights. It says there, if you read in the book of Genesis and chapter 22, it says, all in whose nostrils was the breath of the spirit of life, all that was on the dry ground died. Creeping thing and bird of the air, they were destroyed from the earth. Only Noah and those who were with him in the ark remained alive, and the water prevailed on the earth 150 days. So it's not actually like 40 days or 40 nights. This was 150 days the water prevailed in the earth. And it says that then God remembered Noah and every living thing in Genesis chapter 8, verse number 1. And all the animals that were with him in the ark, and God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters subsided. The fountains of the deep and the windows of heaven were also stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained, and the waters receded continually from the earth. At the end of the 150 days, the waters were decreased. Then the ark rested in the seventh month, the 17th day of the month, on the mountain of Ararat. And the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. In the 10th month of the first day of the month, the tops of the mountains were seen. Now, the Bible tells us, so it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made. Then he sent out a raven, which kept going to and fro until the waters had dried up from the earth. He also sent out from him a dove to see if the waters had receded from the face of the ground. But the dove found no resting place for the sole of his foot, and she returned into the ark to him. For the waters were on the face of the whole earth. So he put out his hand and took her and drew her into the ark to himself. And he waited yet another 7 days, and again he sent the dove out from the ark. Then the dove came to him in the evening, and behold, a freshly plucked olive leaf was in her mouth. And Noah knew that the waters had subsided or receded from the earth. Now, When this happened, the Bible says, then God spoke to Noah in verse 15 of chapter number 8 of Genesis, saying, go out of the ark, you and your wife and your sons' wives with you. Bring out with you every living thing of all flesh that is with you, birds and cattle, every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, so that they may abound on the earth and be fruitful and multiply on the earth. So Noah went out, and his sons and his wives and his sons' wives with him, every animal, every creeping thing, every bird, and whatever creepeth or creeps on the earth, according to the families, went out of the ark. Now here is where now God struck a covenant with Noah. See, the Bible here says, in my Bible, which I'm reading, it says, God covenant with creation. Verse number 20 of Genesis chapter number 8. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took of every clean animal and of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a smooth aroma, a soothing aroma. Then the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake, although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done. It's a covenant. That means God is putting a stipulation of what he is not going to do, or what he will do and he's not going to do. Verse 22. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. This is where I want you to zero in with me. God spoke here and said, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall never cease. What does that mean? It means that there are seasons in life. There are both seasons in life for our lives here on earth when God starts to deal with us. God deals with us human beings in seasons. There are seasons of laboring. There are seasons of breaking ground for our ministry. There are seasons of planting the seed of ministry, whether it's in the teaching ministry or evangelism ministry or pastoral work or apostolic ministry or prophetical calling. There are seasons before God presents you to the world. These seasons, you cannot jump over them like you jump over a broom during your wedding. These seasons are set by God to test your virtue, to see your preparedness, and to see your readiness. Pastor for the Getaway Church in Dallas was preaching about Joseph. He talked about how this man was called of God and he had a big vision, but he ended up being in prison. He said, you know, his own brothers were against him because of jealousy of what God wanted to do in the life of Joseph. They sold this man, Joseph, to the Ishmaelites. The Ishmaelites ended up selling him to Potiphar, who was a big guy, very important person in Egypt. He worked in the very royal palace of Egypt. The Potiphar gave this man, Joseph, everything in his house, the responsibility to call shots for food, for whatever was needed in the house, came under the hand of Joseph. But the Bible tells us that the wife of Potiphar started to eye this young man, Joseph, because he was a handsome guy and wanted to sleep with him. She tagged this young man from left to right until he told her plainly, he said, I cannot sleep with you, madam, unseen to my God. He even elaborated and said, you see, the master's given me all the responsibility of all that he has in this house, except you. Because you are his wife. It takes a lot of fortitude. It takes a lot of character to say no to such an advance. Many of us would have fallen and said, hey, here is a woman who has presented herself. I'm going to have a nice time with her. But not Joseph. He looked through the woman and he saw the call of God upon his life. That's how we must be in life. Whenever temptation comes, some of the temptation might get us, like it got Samson. Samson fell because of Delilah, and he ended up losing his eyes because, you know, the Philistines got Samson, and the Bible says they gouged out his eyes. See, when you fall and the devil gets you, he gouges out the eyes of your vision. Eyes speak of vision. Vision meaning the things that God has set for us in the future. The moment you fall into the trap of the devil, he gouges out your ability to have vision, your ability to see where you are going, the ability to determine the end of your life. You know, that's why it baffles me many times when I see people wasting time. This is no time to waste. The Bible said, as long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest shall never cease. That means whatever you plant in life is going to come back to you at some time in your lifetime, either in this life or the next life, which is the life we're going to be with Jesus and our Father God forever in heaven. Make no mistake, if you don't plant things that bring righteousness and bring purity, bring peace, you don't win souls, you don't do nothing in the kingdom of God. Your job is to criticize, your job is to bring forth people and cause entanglement. Your job is so short-sighted, it's just to criticize people like you think you're the best thing that has ever happened in life, and you look at other people like they're the scum of this world and you're the most anointed and brilliant. You're missing the whole concept of the call of God. Count your many blessings. We used to sing this song in Zambia. Count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. But then as you count your blessings and you name them one by one, remember time is running. I looked at my life. I said, hey, I'm over 60 some years now. You know, geez. I said to myself, 60 plus 10, I'll be 70 years. I said to myself, man, we got to do something great in that. How many people, you know, 70 years, you know, you have to be determined to do something great for God. So when I look at a young man, you are like 20 years old or 30. Guess what? For you to become 70, you have to live 40 years. See what I'm saying? Now, those 40 years, plant them for the best use that God can use you to his honor and to his glory. You know, there are people who are 60-some years, maybe like me, and there they are just dumbling in life, going from bad to bad, drinking their life off and playing with women and scumming around. And guess what? That's the seed they are planting and that's what they're going to reap. I told the Lord, I said, Lord, the number of years that I have before I reach an age where I can't move, I can't walk, I can't see, I want them those years spent for you, nothing but you. You see, you can do great things in the 70 years. Thank God, me, when I went into ministry, I was 30 years old. So I've been serving God for the last 40 years. I was 30 years old when I went into ministry, just like Jesus. I left and went to Nigeria at 30 years old. I did 2 years in Nigeria. That means I was in ministry. I resigned my job as a construction and maintenance foreman with Power Division in Zambia. And I spent 2 years in Nigeria. I was a senior school prefect there. I was in crusades and meetings with the Archbishop all over Nigeria. We crisscrossed the country. I lived with a man of God who trained me on one-on-one, just like Elijah and Elisha. On the graduation day, I'm the one who spoke at the graduation ceremony for the Associate of Arts degree as students. I had over 200 and some students under me. And the bishop ordained me on the graduation day. I was ordained to the ministry. I left Nigeria and started the work, Pentecostal Believers Church of God, that December of 1985 when I left Nigeria after 2 years. I started a church in the house of an elder, Elder Lumbwe, and then established the Pentecostal Believers Church of God We began meeting in the Gale Guides Hall. From there, we had our own land of 5 acres. I built the Bible school, then the main church sanctuary. Bible school, I've trained over 100 pastors who are all over the world. Then we, you know, started constructing the main church sanctuary, the Miracle Center, which has over 300 members. That building is there. I had other plans and blueprints for House of Missions number 2 at the plot. It's completed. I had 3 missionary homes that I planned for. As I get guests come from the United States to Zambia, we had homes set for them where they could live. They are all done. I had a plan for the school from grade 1 to grade 7, and it's been done. It's all complete. I had a plan to have a carpentry school, to have a nursery school, kindergarten school, and an orphanage. They are done. Right now in my house, here are boxes and stuff that are supposed to go to Africa, given to me by my good friends here in America, like Tiffany. She's a very good friend of ours. Gave us clothes and shoes and stuff to send to Africa to give to orphans. So calculate your time. Don't just let time sweep by. Don't you just think things, you know, you can just play with time and time is just going to let you pass by. The Bible said as long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest shall never cease. That means there's time to plant and time to harvest. If you do not plant the things of the Spirit, what are you planting your life into? For years, I labored with the Bible school students in Africa, built the school, like I said. I started broadcasting on radio in Zambia, Radio 2, with the Zambia National Broadcasting Service. I paid for my time on radio. Then I began to do television. I had a stint on TV at the whole Zambian National Broadcasting Corporation outside broadcasting, come to Luansha to record my crusades at the Civic Center of Luansha. Those broadcasts, I had them published. I had them on television. My spot was from 11:30 every Sunday to 12 for 30 minutes. Then I was on Radio Christian Voice every Saturday for 1 hour. I preached and I taught the Word of God on Radio Christian Voice. Then I held crusades around the country. I've never been idle for the Lord in the last 40 years. You say, well, life has ups and downs. Yes, it has. And it doesn't mean I never had a little stumble here and there. I'm not, you know, immune to stumble. We all do stumble in life. There have been little stumbles here and there, but I've risen up and run with a vision. My challenge to you today, as a bishop who has seen the hand of the Lord work in my life over these years, I'm telling you, whatever you plant today will determine who you'll be tomorrow. Whenever you hear the cries of the destitute and you see people who are going to hell and you do nothing about it, when it's in your capacity to do something, God will hold you responsible for those souls. People have been faithful to me over the years, who have given to this ministry in a mighty way. I've received thousands and thousands of dollars from people who just knew me for a short time and heard my message. Wrote me checks for $5,000, $10,000, $3,000 all over the world. And I'm still harvesting from the good works that people have done into this ministry. Now we are running a Bible college online. And the fees are $600. We expect students to respond. But there are many students who need help, like in the African countries there. They say, no, look, I don't have the capacity to do this. But we need you who are capable to plant something in this work. I say, look, I'm going to help the Bible school. Here is $1,000. I'm going to help the work of God. Here is $2,000. Send me an email to bishopmwamba@outlook.com, and I'll get your message, and we'll give you the steps of how you can contribute to the well-being of the Bible College here in Dallas, Texas, the United States of America. Your giving will cause the students to graduate. Your giving will help the students to have the materials they need to complete their studies. We need you to be part and parcel of what God wants to do, not only in the United States, but around the world. I challenge you in the name of the Lord Jesus, take up a stand with us and do great things for the Lord. Well, this is Bishop Dr. Lawrence Mwamba with my wife, Tarina Mwamba, signing off here in Dallas, Texas, and saying, God bless you. We'll talk to you again, and bye-bye.